This is an ABC podcast.
You stick your stick out and collect some of that urine while trying not to get peed on yourself.
How often would you get a bit of splashback?
Almost every time you collect a urine sample, there's going to be like a bit, you know, up in a tree like that. From a great height, right? So it's going to be a wide stream. There's a lot of time for it to spread out when they're 50 meters up on the canopy, right?
Welcome to What the Duck, the program where I try to figure out the who, what, where, and the why in nature. I'm Dr. Anne Jones, and this story actually starts with a discussion from a couple of weeks ago with science reporter Belle Smith. She and I share the aches and pains of an aging female body. Actually, different bodies, similar aches and pains. Anyway, Belle and I also share a love for the oddities in life, and Belle says to me, "Hey, why do you think that menopause exists?" What is menopause? Why should we even bother talking about this?
Because it's weird and it's just so strange in the animal kingdom. Menopause is a time when females of a species, they stop reproducing, we undergo hormonal changes, and we just can't have kids anymore. But we live a long time after this period of, you know, menopause, and it just doesn't make sense from an evolutionary perspective. Like, why aren't we just popping out babies until we drop dead?
Well, another thing is you're saying we, and that is us as humans, right? But do other animals go through menopause?
Not many that we know of. And that's the weird thing. So most animals will just reproduce until they cark it. But humans, a bunch of whales, and chimpanzees are the only animals that we know of that will go through menopause and live a substantial period of life in this non-reproductive state. It's weird, Anne.
So why did menopause not get thrown out into the evolutionary wastebasket?
Well, let's start with the whales, right? So we're talking about whales with teeth, tooth whales. And we know of five species that go through menopause. There's short-finned pilot whales, narwhals with that big tooth hanging out the front of their face, beluga whales, false killer whales, and actual killer whales, orcas. And of those, the best studied group is a group of orcas that live off the Pacific Northwest coast in the US. They're called the southern resident whales.
Yeah, they typically stop reproducing around their age, like their late 30s to 40s, and then they can continue to live for 40 years beyond this, up to 90 years old. A really, really long time, just as we see in kind of humans.
That's Charlie Grimes. She's doing a PhD at the University of Exeter, and she's studying the social behaviour of these southern resident whales. And that includes whale autopsies to see when they stopped reproducing and actually went through menopause.
Yeah, we take these like necropsied whales, so that's dead whales, and we analyse their kind of ovarian activity and find that the follicles, so just as in humans, you know, you stop producing as many follicles around a certain age, which is what we call reproductive senescence. And then, yeah, we determine that, you know, they're not of reproductive age anymore.
Right, so if the whales are stopping reproducing around 50 years of age, but they live till 90, they've got 40 years where they're not just popping out babies. Mm. So, I mean, I have hobbies, I've got plans, but what are the whales doing?
Well, maybe your plans are similar to whales, but this is where the grandmother hypothesis comes into it.
The grandmother hypothesis.
And that sounds quite sweet. You know, the grandma helps out with the grandkids, does a bit of free babysitting. I know a few friends who take up their, offload the kids on a regular basis to their grandparents. These older non-reproducing females do babysit their grandkids, which is quite sweet. But it's probably more about their accumulated wisdom and sharing that with the rest of the pod.
They act as kind of ecological repositories of knowledge of where and when to find food. They've been around for so long, they've got an idea of where the food's going, and they follow these patterns and they lead group movement to these foraging grounds. Females also directly share prey with their offspring.
Yeah, that makes sense to me, right? Because when you think of how a grandmother can function in human society, she gives wisdom to her offspring to then bring up their children. She's gone through it all. She's had her own 50 years of calves.
Mm, exactly right, yes. And there is another potential hypothesis here. Mm. It's called the reproductive conflict hypothesis. The older females are taking themselves out of the reproduction pool. Yeah. And so that means you're not competing with your kids for mates, so you're not potentially picking up the bloke that they were trying to pick up. That means your kids are more likely to breed and there are more resources then to go to your grandkids.
Oh.
Yeah. But look, whatever the reason, what we do know is that these older females also play a protective or sort of peacekeeper role, but only for their boys.
Ah?
Yeah. Okay. And we'll get into this in a second. So, like, killer whales, they get into skirmishes with other killer whales. It's what they do. And because they have teeth, they bite each other. And when they bite, it kind of looks like someone scraped a rake down their skin. Battle scars.
Terrifying animals.
I know. So this study that Charlie led, they found that sons that had their post-reproductive mother still in the pod had a third fewer of these battle scars than the males that did not have a post-reproductive mum in the pod.
Right. So, okay, is it that they're being good boys because mum's there? So they're not getting into fights?
Well, no, it's because you don't see this effect if their mum is there, but she might still be breeding.
Ah.
Yeah. So it's something's happening when the mum stops breeding that she becomes this protector to her sons, but not her daughters.
Warning. Oh, sorry, Belle. That was just the What the Duck discrimination alert going off. I'll just get that.
Daughters have the same number of battle scars regardless of whether their mum's there or not, post-reproductive or not.
These don't sound like very feminist whales.
No.
I mean... But what the hell is going on? So she stops being of reproductive age. She starts going out and getting into biffo to protect her adult sons.
Yeah, not sure if she gets into biffo, but there's something. She's doing something. Maybe she's diverting him away from potential scraps with others. Maybe she's teaching him.
She's a diplomat.
Just chill out, mate. You know, you don't have to get into this fight. You know, you don't have to solve everything with violence. But when she's gone, then yeah, he just gets into fights.
But why? Why protect your male offspring and not your female offspring?
Right. Okay. So this is a way of shifting the work of pregnancy, of bringing up a calf, onto a different family.
And when mating, males have the opportunity to get with multiple females. And when they do so outside of their own family group. Whereas when a female breeds, her calf is raised inside her social group, which comes at a cost. They carry the calf for around 18 months. Which means during this time they require more resources, which increases competition within their social group. So older mothers who are no longer reproducing themselves have greater potential to pass on their genes through their sons by helping him reproduce without any cost.
Wow. Yeah.
And there's another reason to protect your boy. Mm. So only the really big old males breed. The female whales find the big ones more attractive for some reason. Anyway, so... If you're a female and if you can keep your son alive and fed to the point where he becomes one of these big old males, then he's going to spread his genetic material and your genetic material far and wide. He's going to breed heaps.
Wait a second. You said keep him alive and fed. Like, I mean, we're talking about potentially here a grandma orca being, you know, 50, 60, 70 years old and her son being 20, 30, 40 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, exactly right. And those older females will share their food with their sons.
With their adult sons.
They'll catch a big juicy salmon, nibble a bit off and then hand the rest over.
What is it about mother-son relationships? You know? She wants them to get big because they're going to have more success when they go next door to try and get the neighbour's daughters pregnant.
Exactly right, yes. It's amazing and it must work because why else would it have evolved, right?
I'm interested to expand this out a little bit because You've talked a little bit about humans. We have menopause. These whales that have teeth have menopause. But you said chimpanzees as well.
So we discovered this last year as well in a paper that was published. This is a population of wild chimpanzees in Uganda in the Kibale National Park. And this is another long-running study, 30-plus years. And life is really good for these chimps. They're called the Ngogo chimps. It's the Ngogo chimp project. And the forest that they live in, it's been restored over the decades. There are no predators. There's tons of food. And so they've got these huge clans that get around of like a couple of hundred chimpanzees. And they live a long time. So your typical wild chimpanzee might live to about, I don't know, 15, 17 in the wild. These ones average 33. And the oldest ones can get up to, they think, about 70 years old. Yeah, and they're just so beautiful. They've got these old faces, beautiful, like, white muzzles, and they're so expressive. They're just fantastic.
So they live a long time. They live in a really lush environment. There's lots of food around. And their ladies give the old heave-ho to their periods at some point.
Yeah, they do. So I had a chat with Kevin Langergrabber from Arizona State University. He's a co-director of the Ngogo Chimpanzee Project. And so this study that he and his team published last year, which has sort of reconstructed this family tree of 30 years of dozens, hundreds of chimpanzees, they found that reproduction drops after about 30 years and then stops altogether at 50. Kind of like humans, kind of like whales.
Well, that's got to be menopause, right?
Well, you would think so. First of all, they had to rule out a couple of other explanations for this. So maybe that there was some kind of pathogen, a disease that went through the population that they didn't know of that rendered females sterile after a certain age. So they had to look at changes in hormones because in humans, our hormones change with menopause. They thought maybe the same would happen in chimpanzees. So to do that, you got to collect wee.
So wait, do you give them one of those little specimen jars and be like, the toilet's just down there on the right? Yeah, and off they go.
Yeah, off you go. Well, unfortunately, well, I had to collect 500 wee specimens from 185 females. And so one of them was called Garbo. She's a beautiful old chimpanzee, lived into her 60s. And so this is how Kevin would collect urine from Garbo.
So you might be following Garbo around. She'd be walking and maybe she'll pee on the trail and pee into a nice little leaf. And you take your little plastic pipette, suck up a little bit of that urine from the leaf as much as you can get. And oftentimes it's like, she'll have dribbled, you know, 2 meters down the trail. Better way to get clean urine is you make this little stick, like you break a little branch off that has like a nice Y at the end of it. And then you put a thin plastic bag over the end of that. So then when the chimps are up in the trees, eating a lot of fruit, a lot of time up in the trees, that means a lot of peeing, right? So peeing from way up high and you, oh, there she goes. So you know, stick your stick out and collect some of that urine while trying not to get peed on yourself.
And from all this wee catching from the trees and leaves and whatever, Kevin and his crew found that menopausal chimps have similar hormonal changes to humans, and strikingly so. So they had lower estrogen and higher luteinizing hormone, just like you see in humans. And I'll just show you the graphs of comparing these hormone levels in chimpanzees.
Oh, this is good. I feel like I'm getting a university lecture here.
With human women. So the dotted line is human women.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I'm looking at two lines on a graph which show age and hormone levels, right? And the lines echo the shape of each other. The female chimps and the human females have similar hormonal trajectories.
Very human-like. You know, like we have some figures in the paper where we put the human values next to the chimp values, and it's pretty shocking, the similarity.
And that's what I've just been looking at.
It basically rules out that disease hypothesis. So essentially, it looks like these chimpanzees go through menopause just like humans and whales.
All right. So we heard a little bit about some of the reasons why whales might. Mm-hmm. Is it the same for chimps? Are they all about protecting their boys?
Well, we have to look at chimpanzee society, and that's a little bit different to those southern resident whales. For chimpanzees, the boys stick close to their mum. Sound familiar? And the mum chimps, they hang out with their boys for ages. Like, they're just really close. The mother-son bond is extremely strong. It's very sweet. Females, they tend to leave their family. They'll go and join another one. And once they're, you know, old enough to have babies and are ready to get pregnant, they get it on with just about every male in that new group.
Right.
And that's thought to reduce infanticide. So if you're a male chimp in that family and you had sex with her, that might be your kid that she's carrying, so you better not kill it, right?
Yeah.
But you don't know, and you don't know, your mum's not going to know if that's her grandkid.
So it doesn't seem to be like the classic grandmother hypothesis, because they can't recognize their son's offspring.
Grandmas do know that stuff, though. Grandma would totally be able to look at a baby and be like, oh, yeah, no, he did that. Oh, he's going to be in so much trouble when he gets home.
Or, yay, son. Go spread your seed far and wide. But look, if anything, the mere existence of these older females like Garbo is really in defiance of the grandmother hypothesis. So another example is Marlena. She was a chimpanzee and she lived well into her 60s as well.
So she was very close with her oldest son, Dolphy. They would often travel together. In general, females are less social than males are. When their son sort of reaches adolescence and is really now attracted to hanging out with these cool older males, you know, wants to sort of join the gang of guys, they'll often drag their moms along with them because the mom still wants to hang out with the son, right? And the son, you know, also wants to hang out with the mom. Dolphy died eventually, and by that point, Marlena was quite old. Marlena certainly became less social, you know, would spend more time just hanging out on her own in the northern part of the territory.
Sometimes that gang of chimps that she used to hang out with, they'd go hunting in her new home up in the north of the park. And if they caught a monkey, which is one of Marlena's favourite foods...
Within 15 minutes, you know, Marlena would show up and like, where's my meat? You know,
they'd share their spoils, their monkey meat, with Marlena.
Which is interesting. You know, it's almost the opposite of the grandmother hypothesis, right? Marlena's not out there catching monkeys and feeding them to her grandkids. She's not hanging out with anyone, but then showing up to get meat in her old age. And yeah, she got it quite a bit.
So what is actually going on here, right? Marlena is clearly respected, at least in some way. Do we know what's happening?
No, not really. That's the thing. And so with some more data collection, the researchers think they might be able to figure out, you know, whether reproductive conflict hypothesis or grandmother hypothesis or what it might be driving menopause in chimpanzees. But unfortunately, we just don't know. It could be that chimpanzees just run out of good eggs. So, you know, just like us, chimpanzees are born with all the eggs that they're going to need throughout their life. And, yeah, maybe she just runs out and then that's when menopause kicks in. Or maybe they go through what's called male-driven menopause.
For duck's sake. The patriarchy, it's everywhere, right?
It's telling us when to go through menopause and why we should do it.
Okay, wait, no, explain this, please.
You know, to have an analogy, why do males have nipples?
Nipples? What?
They're not doing anything with them, right?
Oh, Kevin, speak for yourself.
They're not doing much with them. They're not an important component of male fitness. Is what, you know, I could cut mine off tomorrow. Most men could cut theirs off tomorrow. It's not going to change their long-term reproductive output, right? Because maybe female extended lifespans past the end of like the ability to reproduce is just like a byproduct of long male reproductive lifespans.
In other words, the fact that females have this sort of long life after reproduction is just sort of like a side effect of being a chimpanzee, because the males live long, so the females live long, but part of that long life is non-reproductive for some reason? Look, it throws up a lot of questions as well as a potential answer. But these sorts of observations are very specific to this Ngogo population.
Number one is maybe Ngogo is like the weird population in terms of the conditions under which they're living. Maybe they're it's so good at Ngogo and good at a way that's not representative of chimp evolutionary history. The second hypothesis is right, that this really is a common feature of chimps' evolutionary history, but we just haven't seen it until now because we haven't been doing a good enough job to keep them well protected and healthy.
All right, so regardless then of why this Ugandan bunch of chimps go through menopause, given that they're actually a close relative to us, to humans, in the evolutionary tree, does that mean the reason for human menopause aligns more with the chimps than it does with the whales?
Maybe. I'm really sorry, I can't give you any definite answers, but you know how I said menopause is really weird? Humans are really weird as well. Like, our societal structure is very strange these days. Like, compare it to whales, where the sons and daughters live with the family their whole life, or chimpanzees, where the females leave the family unit but the sons stay. We, as humans, if you're an alien looking down on us and being like, how does this species live? We pair bond, generally, but we also live in these big social groups, and that's weird in the animal kingdom in and of itself. But if we go back to our ancestors or other branches of the human family tree, there might be some clues there. So in a Siberian cave, let's go there, from Uganda to Siberia, researchers extracted Neanderthal DNA. And they could tell that their social structure was a bit more chimp-like than whale-like, so the females seemed to leave the family unit and go elsewhere. So maybe our reason for menopause, or rather their reason for menopause, is more closely aligned with chimpanzees. But, you know, again, one cave, one bunch of humans.
There's some commonalities between these three sort of examples that we've got in our heads right now.
Mm-hmm.
The long life is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Cultural complexity is the other. And maybe those two things go hand in hand in some way, like a long life and cultural complexity, you know, because you've got a long time to develop.
And strong social bonds as well, massively. Yeah, it's interesting. Menopause has evolved at least four times in whales alone. So that tells you that it evolved for a reason. And so there are some researchers who think that most mammals would go through menopause if they lived enough years or months or however long their lifespan is, that you could notice these changes in them, maybe hormonal or just they just stop reproducing. Maybe they run out of eggs.
They just run out of energy.
Yeah. It's hard work supporting your sons.
It's hard work having a baby.
Yeah. 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 And then you don't even get a break after you stopped breeding. It's just more work, more support.
I think that what you're getting at there is that older women aren't useless.
No.
You know, we stop ovulating and there has to be an evolutionary reason for that.
Mm.
And menopause is not a best before date,
No.
So get out there and respect your elders and share your monkey with Marlene.
She's hungry.
This episode of What the Duck was produced and reported by Belle Smith with the help of me, Anne Jones, and Patria Ladgrove. We're spread across Woiwurrung, Kaurna, and Wadawurrung country. Belle writes for ABC Science Online, but we also have more from her coming up on What the Duck. So to make sure you don't miss out on that, go and find What the Duck on the ABC Listen app and follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
I noticed the interesting names of those chimps.
Yeah, they're great, aren't they? Garbo,
yeah, well, yeah,
Marlena.
At first when you said Garbo, I thought it was like, you know, Wednesday is recycling day type thing, but no.
Yeah, no. So that chimpanzee is named after Greta Garbo, and this reflects the interests of the two dudes who started this project back
always
in the 90s.
Dudes.
It's always dudes. But as more people have come on board, more interests, maybe more contemporary interests, like Kevin, he named a chimp after Johnny Cash.
Because I'm more of a classic country fan, as well as a fan of hip-hop. So we've even started, I've got one now, a young male named MF Doom.
Yo,
We name them now when the infants make it to 1 year, because there's a lot of mortality in the first year. So you don't want to waste a name like MF Doom on a chimp that, you know, that might die, right? We'll see how I've got high hopes for MF.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.